2013, New River Conservation Commission. And the first item on the agenda is, after I say this meeting is being recorded, the approval of the minutes for September 24th, 2013. Comments? Motion?
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, next item will be the sea level rise, land subject to storm flowage info. Our meeting for next week was postponed because no one from the building department could make it. So, Julie, you have something for us?
So, because we had to postpone the meeting because we really wanted the building commissioner to be there, we got new date and time from both the commissioner and the mayor, and are just waiting to hear back from CZM, who had agreed to come and give a presentation to the city on sea level rise. So once we hear back from them, we'll reschedule and take it from there. But otherwise, no new developments. And
Did you go out to the 40-year bridge sign last week?
I didn't go down there, but I did look and see what you're talking about. It doesn't make sense, but actually I'm having a site visit on Monday morning with them. Yeah, and DEP as well, so we'll all be there at the same time.
Because I'm not going to go by there tonight. It's clearly some huge barge jacked up.
Yeah, it looks like a more solid...
I'm not sure what this is. Is this something that we've talked about?
Whittier, the Whittier Bridge project.
Yeah, no, here, but I don't understand your comments.
Okay, hold on. I can maybe before we got here last week.
Pardon?
Were you here last week?
I was, but I don't recall. Yeah.
We may have talked about it before. Yeah.
We permitted them to build a dock.
Right.
I think L-shaped. And they've got these two giant barges up there jacked up, acting like a dock. Not where we told them to build the dock.
Really? It looks like it's in the right location. It just doesn't look like what...
Well, they built the dock that was up vertically from the shore.
Yeah.
And then there was going to be an L going.
Right, right.
This is a little further out.
Okay, okay.
Where there could very well be vegetation that they're shading.
Okay. Yeah, so we have organized a site visit with them for Monday morning to look at the whole thing, top to bottom. So we'll get the down low on that.
But as far as the permitted dock location is, there wasn't a plan, was there?
There was a plan for it. Yeah, that we approved. Yeah, it was part of the amendment, actually. Yeah, we.
So this could be measured in terms of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they haven't submitted any changes since then or any notice of anything like that. So. We'll see.
It's out in the water.
Yeah. Jacked up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Do you have any other business you want to talk about? Were you able to write that letter regarding
the bags?
Black bags? No.
All right, that continues to be on my agenda.
I'll just keep bringing it up.
Please do. Okay.
All right, then. Well, it's a couple minutes early, but...
trying to think if there's anything else going on.
Want to do the Chandel Drive thing?
We can do that?
Yeah, we can do the update on Chandel Drive, which is that the enforcement order that you all signed last week went out certified mail the next day, and we haven't heard anything from them, but we did give them till November 1st. So I'm imagining that something is taking place. We'll find out, hopefully before November 1st. So I'm just leaving this on the agenda just so we can, you know, check in on it. Also, just a note, 9 Doe Run Drive. You might all might remember there was an enforcement order a couple of years ago on that property. They had filled the wetland behind the house, and you had required them to restore it and do a lot of wetland plantings. And I got a call from them today. Last year, I went out and looked at it, and it didn't look like it had some of the plantings just didn't look well established enough to kind of qualify. So got a call from them today to schedule a time to come back out again this year. We wanted to come back in a year, so I'll do that on Monday as well. And we can maybe lift that enforcement order if it looks okay.
Okay. All right, well, why don't we get going? The National Grid 270 to 270 and a half Water Street and to Union Street in Perkins Park request for a certificate of compliance. Is anybody here for National Grid?
I am here from National Grid.
Okay.
Elizabeth Green, National Grid, and Elizabeth Yen, manager for the remediation project. You have the request for the certificate that GEI prepared on my behalf. The work was completed in accordance with the order of conditions, and plants are thriving. So it's been 2 growing seasons.
One question I have. Before you started the project, most of that, or a lot of that wetland area, was pretty heavily vegetated, and now it seems to be pretty much a pond. Were there any...
Perkins Pond, you mean?
Or... Is that Perkins? Is that the... large wet area between the ball field and...
Yes, that's Perkins Pond, in between the work area and the pond. Part of the work involved filling a pipe that drained the pond underground and relighting it so that it runs over surface, over the flow.
Okay.
So, some trees were removed, but we tried to remove as few as possible in the entire project. I'm not positive I'm aware of where you're talking about. Maybe we could...
Well, the...
The pond itself, are you saying, is larger than it used to be?
The water seems to be deeper than it used to be.
Oh, that shouldn't have been. We did a pre and post calculation of the flow in the stream, and nothing has changed, so I'm not sure why that.
Okay. I do know in the aerials you can see a lot of vegetation in the middle of it, and now on the current aerials you see it's all water. So
was any remedial action taken within the pond itself?
No, that wasn't part of the work area. It was simply taking the flow that had gone underground and putting it above ground.
Well, if the outlet from the pond was at a lower elevation than it is currently, then maybe that's the reason why the water level would be higher.
But basically, this is what it looked like back then. Let's see if I can bring up
The pond used to drain out of a pipe?
Partially
out of a pipe?
Someone installed a pipe way back in the day.
And do we know if that pipe was at what elevation that was?
No, but in the notice of intent, GEI had done all of the calculations that showed the existing and then what's existing now, the mm-hmm. post-construction, mm-hmm. and there was no change. Mm-hmm. And they kept all of the grades that they put in the construction plan, so I'm not sure mm-hmm. if it's something seasonal or...
Mm-hmm. Or I wonder if it's seasonal.
I suppose it could be.
Although this isn't the wet season, so...
It's kind of a slow connection I got here, but it's obvious in the
water level is very high. I was out there. The water level is very high.
Yeah.
It almost seems...
which, given the amount of rain we've had, I think it would be lower.
Right. And it's clearly in this, I think it's a 2008 photo, there's lots of vegetation in the middle of it. And this one that's not moving very fast. It's pretty much all water, so.
I don't know.
Does anybody have an issue with that?
It could just be related to a slight change in the hydrology, given that they created a daylighted stream outflow from the pond, as opposed to something that may have had some constrictions before. Who knows?
Right.
Or maybe it just drained faster before, and maybe it's more constricted now that it's overland.
Right.
Slower.
Could it have been plugged? Yeah. They did plug it as part of the project.
So they didn't remove the pipe?
No.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting.
But if the pipe was at a lower elevation than the current.
Right, the current outflow.
Then you're going to have a change in elevation.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
But it is different, so.
Is there any evidence of beaver activity out there?
Probably not.
We, in the culvert, we had to install a new manhole where the stream discharges underneath Water Street before it goes out into the Merrimack River. And we had evidence of animals gnawing on the tie flex valve so that it was stuck open. So we had to have that whole thing replaced, and there was a lot of debris. And when the contractor pulled the valve out, you could see the rubber part had teeth marks in it. So we put kind of like a little cage thing on the end to prevent animals from being able to get up there in the future, to make sure that it operated properly.
But otherwise, the vegetation is thriving out there. There don't seem to be any invasives. It looks pretty good.
And DEP has signed off on all of the stuff.
Yes, we submitted a completion report in June.
It was a big project.
It was big, yeah. Very big. So now we've licensed the 270 and 270.5 portions of our property to the city to use as a public park.
I guess my question is, if we approve a certificate, a full certificate, what happens if the pond just gets bigger and deeper?
I don't know.
Do you know when the work was done that plugged the pipe? Was it recent or was it a while?
It was 2011 when the remediation project was done.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
But not too long. Do you want to ask them to take a look at it?
I mean, is there any urgency to this certificate? I mean, is anything happening that you're aware of in terms of a need for it quickly?
Not necessarily. We are going to be putting the 32 Union Street property on the market. We're getting it appraised right now. I don't know if that's any sort of encumbrance on the deed or anything, but we could have the GEI. I wish GEI had come with me now. I said they shouldn't have any questions.
Right.
I know, because this is a comprehensive. They did an exhaustive stormwater calculation report that was, they looked at everything, and the way the project was constructed was in accordance with all of the plans, so there shouldn't be any impact to Perkins Pond whatsoever. I'm not sure what is going on.
Right, the flow into it wouldn't be increasing, but the flow out of it may be somehow changed. if that's really the case.
It should be. I mean, the stream that runs across our property, the National Grid property, is an intermittent stream. So it doesn't flow a lot of the year. So there's...
So was there overland flow at all previously?
Yes.
There was overland flow and flow through a pipe, drainage pipe.
Yes, that they laid it and then joined the rest of the stream.
Okay. That could be it right there.
Maybe the vegetation is just shorter.
I don't know. Just a...
I think as long as it's not flooding anybody's property or the baseball field.
And they took that photo, it would have been extra dry.
Could be.
At the moment, it isn't, but if it's a dynamic situation, it gets worse. I'm a little concerned with issuing a certificate and then being left with what?
Right. A flooding situation.
I mean.
Well, so the question is, what's the criteria for?
Yeah, I mean, is it getting worse? Is this an aberrant kind of thing? Excess water from some, but it's hard to imagine how that would be. I mean, we haven't had a lot of rain, unless there.
Right. Maybe the thing to do is just ask the GEI to come in and give an explanation of it. We need to understand what happened with the hydrology, and they would be the ones to be able to explain that.
Right.
And maybe they can put everyone's minds at ease.
Yeah, I mean, if it would have to be tied to the project that we did too.
Yeah.
It could very well be something else altogether.
Right, but given that they're engineers and hydrologists, they may have some insight into what these factors could all be related to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds good to me.
So, should we continue until the next meeting, which is on October 15th? Would you think they would be able to, someone would be able to come on that day?
Yes. Okay.
Can you get a motion?
Motion to continue to October 15th.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Motion. Motion for public hearings.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did you get my revised? The revised.
No, that's the one I was.
Did I give you? Maybe this is the one I meant to put on your desk. Oh, you got one.
It was on over here.
Okay, sorry. Right. The continuation of 47 Harbor Street. Because we were just waiting for the DEP file number. Remember, he needed to figure out why they hadn't received the file number yet. He actually had to go down to Wilmington to DEP's office, and he was there today. They figured out it was in the wrong lockbox or something. Anyway, they figured it out, and she sent me an email this afternoon with the file number, which is 051-0903. And so we can be free and clear to vote on that. This was the removal of two sheds and replacement with a sort of shed slash garage up on pilings. And the replacement of 64 square feet of vegetation. Right? Is that 47? Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm confused. No, you're right. 47 Harbor Street. No, that's William Ring's property. 47 Harbor Street is actually the seawall. Sorry, it's the seawall. And you all wanted more information on access to the site by the equipment that they're talking about using to remove the rocks, to repair the timbers. And they provided that, and there's a copy for you on your desk. Sorry, I got confused. We have two continuations.
So alternative two looks like they would have to cross somebody else's land. It's that paper street that continues.
I don't know. I just got this today as well. And they don't seem to be interested in sending anybody to our meetings. answer questions.
So this, we issued a negative RDA with conditions.
Yes.
And they're now proposing to drive across the beach with the equipment.
Right. So they want to do the work by hand, the replacement of the timbers, the broken timbers on the seawall. And they thought that they could do the entire project by hand. Turns out there's all these rocks that they need to get out of the way. And they want to use this equipment to put the rocks out of, push the rocks out of the way.
I don't think that this is a minor adjustment to an RDA, and I think it trips them into a notice of intent situation. Personally.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a very simple project.
Right. I mean, if someone came in with an RDA with this project, I don't think there would be any question about it at all. In fact, that you probably wouldn't have even had them come in for an RDA.
No. I would have to agree, actually.
Have we ever seen it? Have we ever done a sidewalk out there?
Yeah, I looked. This came in like right when I first started last year or 2 years ago.
I think we did.
And it looked to be something that, I mean, doing something like that by hand at low tide is very low impact. And it was a very small, sort of limited project at that time.
I think we were skeptical at the time.
I think even then, we were wondering how they could do this by hand.
Right. Yeah.
But they insisted that they could, so we sort of said, fine. But now they,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an excavator, no.
And in their narrative about this, they want to remove the box so they get to the bottom two boards, but then they're going to wait to return the box until the whole thing is done.
There's not enough information.
Excuse me. The equipment's not going to be twice. But why don't they just replace the lock after the first two boards in there?
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're going to replace the rocks on the face of the beach. And that's got a little more detail what that means.
And I don't know about the alternate two, but alternate one I know is when the grandkids are over the house, that's the beach that we walk to because it's very safe. There's no one to go. The water's a little warmer, and we call it the river beach. And I know approximately what the width of the tracks on the machine's going to be. I also know the width of the path that takes you from the end of the road down onto the beach. And the width of the tracks is wider than what the footpath is. So that's if they're going to be running over whatever beach grass and stuff is there with the tracks on all one. I don't know about all two. I suspect that's probably the same. So like Dan said, it's not as simple as it's been right now.
Yeah, and like we said, we wouldn't have approved this altogether as an RDA anyways. So
I'll move to deny the minor modification.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Let them know that, that would be appropriate. Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to need some findings on this, though, in the minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
What's your first money?
I'll second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. First item is Mallow Realty Trust, 183 to 185 Low Street and 13 Crow Lane. ANRAD.
Thank you. Good evening, Fred Floyd, Cameron Engineering, representing the applicant on this ANRAD. This property is located down at the corner of Crow Lane and Low Street. The only horse farm down here on Low Street. We had these wetlands delineated by Bazbane's Wetland Consulting back in April. And just roughly, there's a bordering vegetated wetland system here to the west. There's a bordering vegetated wetland system in the middle of the property that's connected to this with a culvert at this location, which makes it bordering vegetated wetland. And then there's a small pocket of upland in the middle of this larger wetland system here. So the delineation was done in accordance with soils, hydrology, vegetation. And we're just here to get this boundary confirmed by the commission so we can do some more future planning for this property as far as potential development. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to hear some if I can.
So you did this all based on soils?
Majority of it was done by soils because of the condition of vegetation. You know, it's pretty much a mowed field majority of the time. I believe that was in her report. She noted that she kind of used the soils as a main indicator.
What is the purpose of that culvert in there?
Well, there's kind of a track around this for horses, and this is a little bit lower. The track was probably built so it kind of developed a little higher elevation. So that culvert's in there just to let the water flow.
So do we have any interest in doing a sidewalk on this?
Fred, are the flags out there? Yeah. Are they still out there?
Obviously. When we flag them, we also put a small wooden stake next to them. So if the flag, if the tape disappears, we at least have a wooden slab with the flag number on.
Right. Would commissioners want to go out and have someone from Kamet take them around and show them the boundary, or does anyone want to go up in themselves?
No, I'd like to cam it.
Yeah.
Give us a tour.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Dark early.
Yeah, I know. I just think, this is one where you just need to see it. So, what works for everybody?
There you go. What works for you guys?
Is there a weekend time that would work?
Not this one for me.
Not for me. Not next weekend for me. if we did it at 5:30, 5:45, 6:00, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about the max.
Probably 5:30, I'd suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Almost by
6:30. Yeah. It would have to be soon,
Can folks get there for
5:30? What day?
I can't do tomorrow, but
I can't
any other Thursday night or something next week.
Yeah, next week would. Yeah, I won't be here Thursday night either. So sometime next week would be better for me.
Monday, any day but Tuesday next week.
I hear Monday.
Monday would work for me.
I can try for Monday. I have to, I'm not sure, but I'll see if I can figure it out a way to make it there Monday.
So it'll be Monday the 7th?
Yeah.
5:30.
5:30?
Yeah. Crow Lane. Where shall we meet? On Crow Lane?
Crow Lane.
There's park on the street here, somewhere maybe.
Okay.
There's some barns and stuff, I think.
Meet down there, like the hay barn. They probably want to use it that
day. Yeah, that's true. So. Space
out. Okay, so site visit Monday, October 7th at 5:30 p.m. Meet at Grill Lane.
Grill Lane down by those barns.
Excuse me?
By those barns.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Is it terribly wet out there, or?
Yeah. Do we need high boots, low boots?
Well, it's been so dry lately.
Yeah,
it's probably been fine.
Yeah.
But that's your call.
Right. Okay. Sounds good.
I mean, you don't need hip waves.
If something changes and you need to reschedule based on what your folks can do, would you be coming out there with us?
I will.
Oh, okay, great. Perfect. All right.
Yeah, I'll just double check and make sure. I think we should have all
the
points indicated out there as far as the flags.
Yeah, I did see stuff out there.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Very good.
Motion to continue.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay.
To the 15th. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Monday the 14th.
Monday the 14th. No.
Oh, okay, we're sorry.
Seven. Yeah.
Sorry. Never mind. Move on. I have my calendar.
Okay.
The next item on the agenda is John DiFilippo, Newbury Port Yacht Club, 2R Woodland Street, and 300-320. Our Merrimack Street notice of intent.
Consulting. I'm here with Paul Richards from AMEC Engineering and John DiFilippo from Newbury Port Yacht Club. So, Newbury Port Yacht Club, which is located off Merrimack Street down near Woodland, has a couple walkways. One goes from the one end of the club to the other, and the other one goes through the marsh and connects to a gangway that goes out to the float system. The existing gangway that goes out to the float system is about 2 feet above the marsh, goes right through Phragmites. The yacht club has been maintaining the area cut several feet on each side of the walkway, and the result of doing that has actually been the emergence of black grass, which is a type of brush that is typically found in the higher marsh areas within the area that's been cut. So the marsh is actually doing pretty well where that's been cut. The other walkway goes across a creek. Both of these things are real shaky if you've ever walked on them. The walkway that goes out to the gangway kind of floats is really, really rough shape. I mean, it probably should have a weight limit sign on it. But what the yacht club is proposing to do is to replace both of those. The highest priority is the walkway that goes out to the floats. And then since we're in here getting a permit, we figured we would add in the one over the creek as well, because we know that's going to be coming in the next couple of years. So the proposal is to replace the walkway. One of the things you can see from the existing conditions that are grayed out here, I don't know if you can see them from there, but the gangway currently lands at an angle on the floats. And especially at low tide, when you've got quite an angle on the gangway, they've had more than one person spill off, either belongings or person or both, into the water. Is it a couple times every summer? Or
a couple times, yeah. Being low tide, because they'll slide down the ramp. This is real steep. It's probably almost 14.
Right. So what we've done is we proposed a slight angle to move the walkway a little bit to the right. It gets into a little bit of the Phragmites, and then at the end, to make the final adjustment, we proposed an 8x10 platform to kind of make the last shift over, so we can then land the gangway. We'd be going with a longer gangway, and that would end up landing sort of straight on the floats. The other thing we're doing is lifting up the walkway to 6 feet above grade. The current one being 2 to 3 doesn't really comply anymore with the dock guidance. The walkway over the creek, we're just essentially proposing, you know, two ramps up, ramp across, and we're going to replace the substructure, which currently is just sort of resting on these big blocks with piling, so we'll be reducing the footprint. Both of these changes reduce the overall footprint within the marsh, because we're using a longer gangway. Even with this shift, we're making an adjustment that actually reduces the overall square footage by a couple of square feet. The other thing is we're proposing to maintain the old cutting area where the old pier was once that's removed, and also maintain around the new one as part of the permit. And if the commission wanted to provide us with the ability to do additional cutting, we wouldn't want it required of them, but if you wanted to authorize it, they're willing to see if they can fit it in to their operating budget as they go, and maybe get rid of some more of the Phragmites. I know you've approved that for some neighbors. We're proposing to be done by either barge from the water or from the upland. And as a last resort, if any equipment needs to go in the marsh, it would be done working on construction matting. And lastly, we just got before the hearing correspondence from Marine Fisheries, which I don't know.
We got it.
Yeah, you did get it. Okay.
So a couple things on that. The 8x10 platform they're recommending against approving, saying we'll shade additional. We're looking at how we're going to address that, and it's either going to be through reconfiguration so that it isn't any more than 6 feet wide, or some type of change, possibly going with through flow decking or something like that. And I'll work that out with Tay Evans, who's the biologist who's reviewed it. We'll also look at her comments with regards to the material for the pilings. You guys have approved a lot of these things to go in with pressure treated. So we've got to look and see what's out there that's cost effective. You know, because like anything, the project's on a budget.
Tom, as proposed, how high above the marsh was the platform going to be?
6 feet.
Same as the gangway.
Right. Right. The problem is,
they're still concerned about shading.
They're concerned about shading, and typically what they look for is 1-to-1. And what I looked at when we did this design was the fact that currently we have about 0.5-to-1. So we're bringing the entire thing up into conformance, and then we just would have one little platform that wasn't quite there, but it's pretty close.
What are we shading, Phragmites?
That, yeah. Yes.
But it's so also shading anything that would grow in Phragmites' place. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it seems like kind of a little bit picky, but you know, we can try to work something out. Tay can be pretty reasonable. You know, we'll just talk through whether it's a matter of changing the decking material, or changing the width, or maybe you know, maybe we do something like just wiggle the whole thing a little bit more so we end up landing at the end of the gangway instead. You know, we can sort that out. It's still partially within natural heritage. Go back to this side. Actually don't have the natural heritage thing, but it was actually provided to you. Natural heritage includes most of the marsh area there. So it is off for review by them, and they have 30 days. So we'll have to continue till the 15th anyway. So we've got some time to sort through how we'll address that, you know, their comments. But in general, you know, they're certainly not in opposition to the project. They're just making some suggested design changes and looking at it, you know, from a pretty keen biological sense. But I think in reality, what we're proposing will improve, even as proposed, will improve existing circumstances.
Currently, how often have they been cutting?
I would say a couple times a year. We keep it so it's just underneath. Whenever it's a low tide, we have dock hands, or we send it out when we wet, and it's kind of down. I would say at least twice a month we try to drive it back so it looks presentable for everybody. You know, just right under our way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Twice a month.
Yeah, I would say twice a month in the summer, uh-huh. A little bit less, you know, like getting it involved. Yeah.
Yeah, essentially, you don't want to cut it early in the spring because that's right. Starting to sit. If you can cut it after it starts growing, and
it's cut it in July.
Yeah, and that's when it's just beginning to tassel. Mm-hmm. It'll sap the energy. And over time, you won't get rid of it. The root mat is, you know, is horrible. But if you can keep it down so it's not shading out the other vegetation, I mean, there's proof right there in the footprint. There's other stuff that's growing there and it's native. So. Mm-hmm.
When you cut this down, what do you do with it? Just let it lie?
Yes, just let it lie.
I guess the only concern I have with cutting it twice a month is that eventually if something good starts growing, you're going to cut that too.
Yeah, I mean,
well, you wouldn't cut
ideally
it.
Ideally, right? You remove the cuttings, get them off site. I mean, you're not talking about trying to eradicate it from the property, so it's a little different, but at the same time, best practice is to actually remove it.
So that's what builds up its mat.
Yeah, I mean, it'll help whatever else is trying to grow up through
right.
There.
Yeah,
we have recommendations about everybody's cutting too, so. But if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna make revisions to the plan, you want to incorporate that those
right.
provision, the, those sort of specifications. That would be great, and
yeah.
Just makes it easier. There's fewer conditions, special conditions we have to put in.
Fisheries also recommended either doing this from the barge or the parking lot, so there's no. Can we
yeah.
do that?
Right. Except what they said, and this is the telling thing, is unless the barge would ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. So the preference is to do it from barge and parking lot and not have to go in the marsh. But if we can't get deep enough water in the marsh to get the barge in and you can't reach it from the parking lot, then the next best thing is to go in with as small a piece of equipment as we can and operate on matting.
Yeah.
And if you want, we could make sure we drove through the frag muggies.
Although I'd like to hear, it's ambiguous as what she means by that, so I'd like to hear if the proposal is to use the equipment on the marsh itself because the alternatives are worse or don't work, then it would be good to have them marine fisheries also, you know.
I'll clarify that.
They're gonna be on that.
Yeah, they're coming in.
They have to get in there.
Right, can't reach with the crane.
Yeah, but it's 2 or 3 days, and everything will be gone and done.
Right.
We'll all be driven in a week.
Right. So I guess what I mean is, if that's the plan, because that information wasn't provided in the notice of intent in terms of construction process, there's sort of alternatives given. But if that is the plan, let that be the plan, and let marine fisheries say fine.
Yeah. No.
You know?
I'll talk to Tay about it.
Okay.
And then confirm.
Okay.
Anything else? Anything from the public? Should have asked that one too.
So let's just go run through what needs to come next.
Okay.
So we're going to get, you're going to work with Tay.
Yeah, we'll resolve.
On these issues, the platform, the work zones, and the pressure-treated wood or whatever composite material she'd like to see. And we're waiting for Natural Heritage, and you are going to also make a more detailed proposal about the Phragmites cutting or not.
I actually believe that what we said in there was that we would remove the stuff.
Okay.
That's what I usually put in there as standard. But I will confirm it's in there, and if it's not.
And if it's not, we can make it a condition.
Okay. Right. And then, as I said, if the commission is open to just allowing sort of discretionary cutting outside that field of area, I think that would be beneficial, even if it wasn't something that they could do every year. If you can weaken the sand.
Right, what I would do would be to include something, some wording in the notice.
Right.
And that that if it is done, this is how it will be done.
Right.
Yeah. And then we can just make clear in the order of conditions that you don't have, we're not requiring you to do it, but if you do it, this is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's pretty clear.
Okay. Motion to continue to October 15th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. William E. Ring, number 978th Street.
Yes, this is the one that we just got the file number today. 051903. And that is what was missing at the last.
And what they're going to be getting us some clearer plans.
He was going to, yes, you're right. He was going to sketch out the exact locations of the plantings, I guess, but he
didn't. The buildings, it was all very, it seems to me that
okay.
Confusing.
Yes.
Let me look back at the notes.
So one of the things that was unclear was where the beach grass was.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was pretty clear about what's going to be added, right?
Yeah. In terms of, well, the thing is, the beach grass is pretty much everywhere right now. There, beach grass is over the whole site. So, except for where he's got his existing shed, the two existing sheds, which is why by combining them into one and adding an additional, when you do the calculations, it's actually an additional 64 square feet of footprint, right? So, assuming that he revegetates where he moved the other shed, where he removed the other shed, then he also needs an additional 64 square feet of planting. So, that's why.
But beach grass is pretty much everywhere. Where is he going to find the 64 feet?
He's found the 64 feet, square feet, because at the end of his driveway, he has sort of this brick, it's a strip of brickwork.
Right.
And he's got also another strip of brickwork adjacent to his house, which neither of them seem to make any sense of why they're there. So he's going to take those out and plant the beach grass in those locations, and that gets him to his 64 square feet. So it's actually just math, and which is why I wasn't really sure at the last meeting that he does need to add any additional plan, because we can just say that all disturbed areas need to be replaced with beach grass. And in addition, the brick areas that he's proposed to replant will be replanted.
I mean,
that covers it.
He did a lot of work on the calculations.
He did.
You know, so the numbers also made pretty well thought out and measured.
His proposed plan here, I mean, it's pretty clear where the new shed is going.
Yeah.
Right.
And then anything disturbed soil around that, he's going to plant beach grass there.
Yeah, so basically the whole site has to be, you know, vegetated with beach grass or other vegetation that's existing on site, which right now is really primarily beach grass. There's some shrubs
around. How does he get the Corvette out of the garage in the springtime when it's, it looks like there's dune grass between the opening to the garage and the driveway?
He's got some temporary.
It's got his temporary ramp.
But it's going to drive over the beach grass.
Well, he's got the temporary ramp, which will sit on the above the beach grass, I guess, and on the beach grass temporarily, but
it's about, according to the scale map, it's about 5 feet between the opening of his new garage shed and with the end of his.
I mean, you could put a specification that unless the car is going to be coming in or out, the ramp cannot be there.
Yeah, I think we discussed that.
We did discuss that.
He did say this was going to be just like once in and once out.
Right.
It's not going to be.
He's leaving it out.
Yeah.
When it's out, and then he puts it in for the winter. But so that's the kind of thing that, you know, a site visit could determine.
Or we could just say the ramp can only be used
for
X number of times during the year. The ramp has to be stored.
Right.
Inside the shed. I think he said he could store it inside the shed when it's not being deployed.
Or propped up behind the shed, against the shed.
Yeah, we definitely discussed that. But how well does beach grass get survive getting driven over?
But the ramp's going to be at an angle, so I don't...
Well, he's driving through the yard. Is he going to leave dead tracks?
Well, but the driveway is what, 5 feet?
I'm looking at this plane there. That new area is going to be 5 feet from where the new shed opens, the shed garage opens, and his driveway begins.
So when you get the.
So it's ramp is 5 feet long.
I mean, how much beach grass is
it? All right, what it's made out of is, of course, the weight of the.
So this whole area is driveway?
Yeah, that's driveway
Never mind.
Yeah. This is all driveway.
I didn't remember
this
that
is part. This strip of brick at the end of his driveway that's coming out where he'll plant grass. This is the other strip of brick. And this is all currently gravel.
Okay.
And what's the height requirement for the shed? 2 feet off the ground?
2 feet?
Yeah.
He said he puts a 2 foot slope approximately from where the cow will exit the garage to where it needs to.
Yeah, it's not much area.
Right, well, over a 5 foot distance.
Yeah, so it'd be probably about a 6 foot long ramp.
We can put in condition, in addition to that, the ramp cannot remain in place other than when it's being utilized at the beginning of the summer and at the
what
end.
What are the shed dimensions?
16 by 12.
Okay, so he could have a 6 foot ramp if he might be kind of bulky to deal with, but he got a 6 foot ramp that would go all the way to the driveway with the shed.
Why didn't he put the shed right next to the driveway?
Well,
put it right above the driveway.
Then it would really be a garage.
That would solve the whole thing, wouldn't it?
Except it may be that this is how he accesses from the driveway, he gets to his backyard. Oh, I mean, I think this is sort of like a travel zone. But you could put a condition that the car may not be parked on anywhere except in the gravel driveway rather than.
Does anyone have an idea of how much damage a single passing across the ground?
That was my question.
I don't know if it would be unaffected by it twice a year.
Well, the ramp is going to be above the beach grass.
Yeah, the ramp's at an angle, so I mean,
I got the impression that the ramp was, you know, about yay big, and the rest of the distance was going to be covered. Rolling over.
I don't know what the slope would be on there. I mean,
so that'd be pretty. That'd be a steep.
He's got to get it up 2 feet.
Yeah.
But 5 square plus 2 square.
I mean, you mentioned
square of
engineering types. I figured this out.
So it's 160.
Well, it'd be more than 2 feet actually, because the lowest number is going to be 2 feet.
So it's going to be 2.5
2.5 feet. So.
So long on a ramp, though, the more structure it has to have, it's going to be a lot stronger. So you've got to find this balance between, I mean, it can't be so steep that you can't drive that bed out there, so it's got to have some length to it. I don't know.
Well, that would bring even further up.
If it was 2 feet over 4 feet, that would be a 2-to-1 slope, so that would be 45 degrees, and this is 2 feet over 5 feet, so it's about 37 degrees or so is the angle of the...
Well, he's showing 6 feet from the end.
That's good.
From the shed out to, I don't know, the property line of the street or something. So if the ramp is 6 feet, it's going to extend out to the street. Right. The driveway across the grass. I think the ramp goes down here on the driveway.
Yeah.
From the shed to the driveway.
If you use two planks.
Yeah.
Here. All right.
So well, you know what? Him,
yeah.
I'm just asking whether he could move the shed closer
right.
to the driveway.
The commission does not want to see the car driving over the newly planted beach grass.
Much as we like Corvettes.
Right.
Corvettes.
It's more than 5 feet anyway. It's
yeah.
Like,
it's
2, 4, 6, 8.
It's like it's probably.
It's 10 feet.
And the, yeah.
10 feet.
And, no, I think we, you know, although it is better to use it for storing. Car.
Yeah, you're right.
Seasonally, if he for some reason moves and sells the house, mm-hmm. you know, the next person may not.
Yeah, it does look like he could move it forward.
Well, the other thing we could require is that he put down something, the width
pavers,
something temporarily, you know, a wooden mat like the a walkway thing to drive over and then roll it up and be done with it. You know, have a ramp that he can make whatever size he wants, but from the edge of the ramp to the actual driveway, it will roll up and matter when he drives across.
Well,
yeah.
Well, instead of trying to design this for him,
yeah, I know, mm-hmm. right?
Why don't you just say that he can have a temporary ramp that is up only when in use, and that. It has to extend from the shed to the driveway, not touching any of the beach grass.
Right. Must allow access to the shed from the driveway without the car having to travel over the beach grass. About that.
As well.
So without the car having to travel over the beach grass itself.
Well, I'd say without anything.
Right.
It might be best if maybe Julia, if you can give him a call and ask him some questions instead
right.
of us trying to
over-condition
it.
He might just say, oh, I'll shift the whole thing forward, which would be better. Then mm-hmm. we wouldn't have to worry so much about this component of it.
Or, you know, there may be some, like, aluminum, you know, rail type things that, you know, like you drive
that he can
get a snow... Snow blower, pick up truck, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Just, right, that's probably what he would use. And really, if he's at 2.5 feet, 10 feet out, that's a 3-to-1.
Yeah.
So it's like 30 degrees. It's probably a good angle for him to do it at, anyways.
Yeah.
So he may very well be able to just reach it.
I mean, when I was a kid, and we had to put a car in a barn and just take out 2 planks and drive up in.
Yeah.
That's the old days.
That's back in my day.
Okay, so do you want me to make this a condition, but call him and verify that that's a workable condition for him, given the ramp that he's...
Or we just want to continue and talk to him.
All right, or we can continue it.
Yeah, you talk to him and see what he wants, and we'll just continue it because we haven't got all our questions answered. Was he in any kind of a rush for this?
I don't know. That's what I don't
remember.
He was going to wait until he sold his house where he was living.
Yeah, right.
I it sounded like there might
it's be not a rush. It's not a rush.
A year or so.
Yeah.
And he said he's planning on moving into this dwelling in the spring.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure when he would like to move the car that he wants to store there. I don't know.
I would think he can wait another 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, you can talk to him. Just tell him what our proposed condition is. If he's okay with that. Good.
Yep.
If not, too bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any questions from the public?
Motion to continue to October 15th.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right.
All right. It's going to be a big night on October 15th.
You're a deja vu.
Were we going to discuss something?
Oh, I won't be here on the 15th.
Oh, me neither.
You won't either?
No, I'm kidding.
Did you get all the votes coming today?
Yeah.
They did.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a party in here.
Is this where they did it?
Yeah.
In here?
Yeah, there's probably 40 people in here.
How long did it take?
Took until about 2 o'clock, probably they were done.
Did we have any questions about, we had to discuss something about 47 Harbor Street, or what, someone made a comment.
Let's
move to discuss.
I think we have to give our reasons for denial.
Yes, that's what
it is. That our reasons for denial, we do. We do, and that's fine, and that's something I feel comfortable doing. It's that it triggers the impacts.
Right.
There are impacts, and when there are impacts to your resource area, it requires a notice of intent, so.
Plus there are open questions about where this machine would go and whether.
Yeah, more information is required to understand whether or not there would be an impact, but yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think I mean, when they came in and wanted, the guy from Netco initially came in to ask what he should do because the property owner wanted to use his equipment. And I said, that could be a notice of intent. And he said, well, let's just see if we can do an amendment. So.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be a huge surprise.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
Second.
All in favor? All right. Opposed?
All right.